Show. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Had to retrieve the cans from the boy. He has grown tired of earbuds. It's understandable. This is the Horn. This program is indeed live. It is our first program for the month of November. It is the 3rd of November, 2014. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That is where we. That is where one goes to get to the Listen Live button. It's also where one goes in order to reach the chat room, which I'm headed for right now. Waiting, working. Be there in a sec, guys. It's been a little bit hairy around here, sorry to say. But, not hairy. I was just working up to the very last minute trying to get Dr. Bill's PC reloaded and rebuilt. You know, that godforsaken malware, it gets around. And it is... right annoying, to say the least. And, you know, when you do a reload, there's a lot of stuff to be redone. So this is the 3rd day of November, 2014. This is the Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Hey, there, got that part in. And, you know what day it is. Thank you, Carol, for posting earlier, only 20 minutes to more and Monday. Thank you very kindly. And by way of returning the favor, Carol, I want everybody to run over to HereWomenTalk.com, HereWomenTalk.com, and the opinionated bitch, that would be Carol's page. And check out her latest posting, to wit, One Vote. One Vote. Because this is, of course, the More and Monday, Election Eve edition of More and Monday. Yeah. And Carol has done a magnificent job pointing out the validity of going to cast your ballot. I'll be doing that in person tomorrow. Like I said, I'm a traditionalist. And everybody gets to vote on a machine one way or the other. I prefer to do mine in person on election day. I'd like it if we had a country where everybody could vote, you know, by mail or early or Hell, I'd be happy if I lived in a country where I thought everybody could vote, if you know what I mean. But this is a country where a lot of those people won't be voting tomorrow. Those people being defined as whomever various and sundry Republican juntas in various and sundry states have decided it would be better if they didn't vote. Whether those people be the elderly, or the poors, or the blahs, or the browns, or the po-whites. Yeah, generally speaking, there are a lot of people who would like to vote tomorrow who won't be doing so. Consequently, all the more important for those of us who have the franchise to damned well exercise it. Now, for me personally, tomorrow is a difficult day. It is difficult because I really don't have anybody on the ballot who represents my interests in anything but the ever so most diaphanously thin, cursory nature. And by diaphanously thin and cursory, you can take that to mean generally at least calling themselves a Democrat. So for me, here in West By Cole, Virginia, tomorrow, and in large part throughout the rest of the country, tomorrow is not, and I've said this in the past, it just happens to remain true, tomorrow is not so much a plebiscite as an IQ test. Tomorrow is the day on which we sort out the degree of our national stupidity. Our national stupidity, of course, will be gauged by the number of right-wing birther, deather, tenther, booger-eater, bagger, libertarian, John Bircher, repiglicans we either return to or put into office for the first time. So by all means, go over to Hear Women Talk, HEREWOMENTALK.com, The Opinionated Bitch, and read Carol Baker's piece, One Vote. I'm proud to say that I think I had, and Carol, you may correct me if I am wrong, I had a little bit of a hand in the inspiration that Carol found for writing this. Because I viewed something, and let me say at the outset that I have watched with no small degree of respect and approval a lot of the work done by Vice, V-I-C-E. But they came to West Virginia and did a piece on mountaintop removal. And it was, well, it was standard fare for coverage of mountaintop removal, in the, at least from an arguably progressive side, in that it pointed out that mountaintop removal destroys a lot of mountains for a mineral that is arguably a climatologic nightmare. I suppose most of us by now have seen the reports regarding the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change's latest report. It is not inspiring. But the thing about the mountaintop removal report, and the thing that bothered me most, is that they had help. You know, people come in to do reports about mountaintop removal, and assuming that they know very much about it at all is a mistake. It usually falls to us here to explain the nuts and bolts of it, which is okay because we're the ones who live with it. And so the Vice piece completely missed the boat. They talked about mountaintop removal. They talked about the shoddy, corrupt, and miserable politics of this state. And somehow or another, they managed to miss entirely any mention of the fact that mountaintop removal is poisoning and killing people. Along the way, a young man whom I know, who is their principal witness in the piece, said, and I'm paraphrasing, "I don't vote. I'm not going to vote. Voting doesn't do any good. Both parties are entirely corrupt. There's nobody for me to vote for." And, of course, needless to say, there was no mention of the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, which is the linchpin to any relief that this region might ever get from the coal industry and from mountaintop removal. So not voting is not much of an answer. And I can explain myself if called upon to do so. But it was, I think, and again, Carol can correct me if I'm wrong, I think that line where the young man talks about, "I ain't going to vote," may be part of what got Carol going. And if so, thank you. Well, either way, thank you very kindly, Carol Baker, for writing that and for helping to educate others. It means ever so much when more people start discussions and dialogues about the massive crime against humanity. And that is what it is that is going on in Central Appalachia. So everybody go to HearWomenTalk.com, H-E-R-E, WomenTalk.com, and read up. Read the piece, One Vote. Let's see. Oh, okay. Thank you, Carol. Carol says you were a great inspiration for writing that column. We all have our mountaintop removal issue in our area. And that's the absolute truth. Sooner or later, the extraction industries are going to come for everybody everywhere. Whether it is mountaintop removal, or whether it is fracking, or tar sands. Remember, it's all they want to get it going in Utah. They've already got it going in Alberta. And they want to get it going in Northwest Alabama, for Christ's sakes. And they will poison whomever, wherever, they're going after whatever it is they need. They need fresh water. The frackers need frack sand. So consequently, children are being poisoned in southwestern Wisconsin now, in west central Wisconsin, and Iowa and Minnesota, as they engage in, they use mountaintop removal techniques to get sand to truck and train all over the United States of America. And the same things that are poisoning people in Appalachia are poisoning people now in places like, I'm trying to think of the particular town. I spoke there. Eau Claire, Wisconsin, which is hilariously ironic insofar as Eau Claire means clear water. And it ain't, and neither is the air. It ain't Eau Claire nor Air Claire. So, thank you, Carol. Let's see. It is, by the way, the first program of November. That means that, by definition, Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge is on the table. And Shirley is there at the first of Shirley's challenge, Wisconsin challenge, is the first challenge of every month. So there's $150 on the table. And thankfully, thanks very kindly to Joyce and to Peter. Thank you, Joyce and Peter. We are already $70 toward filling that goal. That means there is only $80 to go to finish off Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. Shirley sits there willing to double whatever comes in up to $150, assuming that people are willing to do that. Hopefully that will happen before we're done with, say, the first hour of the program this evening. And we will be off to a good start in the month of November. And thank you very kindly to Randy, who is always the first one past the post as the new month begins. All righty then. It is, by the way. Yeah, you know. Oh, and thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. During the program, he said, I'll start the fundraising with my donation of $5. So we'll call that $75 to go to finish or to meet Shirley's Wisconsin challenge this evening. Wonderful. Meanwhile, oh dear God, meanwhile, well,
you've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
There it is, the calliope bit begins. The dulcet strains of the horn calliope player let us know that, yes, indeed, it is Moran Monday on the horn. Hurry, 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 step right up, you will not believe your ears, for behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas reside the most amazing right-wing morans, morans of every stripe imaginable. Birther morans, deather morans, tenther morans,
Alex Jones,
booger-eating morans, the boogerati of the booger sphere. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. For less than 5 cents per hour of programming, you too can experience the weird, the wild, the occasionally dangerously insane moranity of the Republican John Bircher Libertarian Party. You can't tell the morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the morans. You just can't tell them much. No, indeed. No, indeed. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in morans.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Where to begin? Where to begin? So many morans. So little time.
Huh!
Now, there are choices to be made. We could, for instance, start by nominating the entire, well, not the entire country, but a significant segment of the entire country for doing its usual bang-up job of ignoring yet another climate change report from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Yeah. They're kind of referring to this as the final warning. Sounds kind of final, that. Final warning. We'll get to it, though. Because there is a whole bunch of other moranity out there. And some of it has to do with the election, for which this is the eve thereof, and which appears to already be going sideways. Over at a publication, an arm of the Fourth Estate, if you will, called the News Record out of North Carolina Stan, which apparently encompasses the Greensboro, North Carolina area, and Guilford County generally. You still down there, Bruce Birch? They're having problems with their video game voting machines. One minute you think you're participating in an election and exercising the franchise, and the next minute some voice is coming out of the machine saying, "Delicious." No, I wish it was that simple. Now, according to 69-year-old Percy Bostick of Greensboro, he walked into the booth and tried to cast a vote for Kay Hagan for Senate of the United States from North Carolina, who is running against a genuine, 200-proof booger eater by the name of Tom Tillis. He reached out to the video game voting machine and pressed Kay Hagan in his little visit to the old Guilford County Courthouse, and the machine responded by showing him that he had just voted for Tom Tillis, booger eater. Well, Percy Bostick says, "I called one of the poll workers over. She said, do it again. And again, I touched the screen at the proper place for Kay Hagan, and it again reported it for Tom Tillis." Finally, after four tries, the machine registered a vote for Kay Hagan. At which point they canceled his ballot altogether and sent him over to the next voting machine over where he could just start all over again. And the troublesome machine, according to the News Record, was taken out of service. Meanwhile, on Wednesday, over to the Craft Recreation Center in Guilford County, another voter tried to vote for Kay Hagan, only to be informed by the machine, and there are many definitions of machine, I might add, that said voter had just voted for booger-eating Tom Tillis. No, really. That person was also sent to a second machine that would give the voter the reassuring sense that he had just voted instead actually for Kay Hagan, whom he intended to vote for. The director of Guilford County Elections is Charlie Collicott. Charlie Collicott said that they've had 14 reports of video game voting problems since October 23rd, when early voting began. And seven of those came from people who got concerned after they got home. And so Charlie Collicott put out, via the local Fourth Estate Press, made a statement. "Now listen here, if you go to vote and the machine don't tell you that you voted for who you wanted to vote for, you need to look at the paper roll next down to the screen and make sure that you voted for who you voted for. And if you didn't, you need to tell a poll worker. Because if a precinct official is made aware immediately, that gives us the opportunity to take the machine out of service and check it and recalibrate it and determine whether we can get it back into service. In other words, find out if it's actually telling people that that it's flipping their votes instead of flipping their votes and not telling them." Because again, I reiterate, And I think our friend Brad Friedman would join me in this. If you're voting electronically, there is no way to make sure that your vote has been or will be counted. Period. Because remember, North Carolina or anywhere else, all of these programs and the algorithms associated with them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, are proprietary. That means they are directly tied to the profit stream of the company that manufactures the video game voting machines. And we can't be letting people like county clerks know exactly how they work, because that would affect the profit and loss statement issued quarterly by said for-profit voting machine company. And after all, this is America, and the business of America is making a buck. Screw democracy. God only knows how many other places people will vote on video games and not even get so much as a sugar crush. Nope. So, there's a lot to watch for tomorrow. The doom and gloom on the TV, as I miraculously watch through the beauties of the internet, appear to be focused, as they have been focused for yay, lo, verily, these many months now, on the horse race. And how many points Dipstick Purdue is up over Michelle Nunn, who is a supporter of the Guns Everywhere bill in Georgia law, or how many points ahead or behind Pat Roberts is in Kansas, or how many points up, nine allegedly, Mr. Turtle, Mitch McConnell, Chinless Mitch, as we love to call him here, is over Allison Lundergan Grimes. Oddly enough, not a mention, still not a mention, of the little cocaine problem that Mitch McConnell's father-in-law, Sugar Daddy, has. Literally a boatload of cocaine. I mean, I own a bunch of boats. I mean, how am I supposed to know which one's loaded with cocaine? Some of them are loaded with soy. Others are loaded with coal. Every now and then, one's going to slip through loaded with cocaine. Damn the luck. But trust me, we don't sell it at a wild profit. We just get our return on investment there. No for-profit media reporting on that, and I went a-searching and didn't see just a hell of a lot. Oh, no. No. Communications via Skype will be possible this evening, but will be a little bit interesting. I'll be hard-pressed to respond to anything you may send in on Skype, comment-wise, simply, or at least in writing, because of the fact that, you know, it's just about the height of my arm right now sitting on top of Dr. Bill's desktop PC. I can see him. I just can't write him. And Carol reminds me that there in Hooterville, where she is, they're laying tar sands pipeline. Look, on the eve of the election is a good time to note that, yes, they want it all. Not all but a little bit, not all but a soupçon. They want it. Note coming in from Steve in New York. Subject line, please help me. I have to admit something. I know you won't like it, but I can't in good conscience vote tomorrow. Almost none of the races in my area are contested. There is literally nobody to vote for. Hell, I have nobody to vote against. And I understand that, Steve. If it was a bunch of uncontested Republican races, I'd say, go and write your own name in, but make your protest known. I'm presuming, since you are in New York, however, Steve, that you're saying that there's a whole bunch of uncontested Democratic races. Then go and vote Working Families Party. Yeah, there's something that goes on in New York that has real meaning. You can vote for the a candidate who might be the Democratic nominee, but you can vote for him on the Working Families Party ticket. And that does matter. That builds the power base of what is arguably the more progressive political organization in the state of New York. So that would be my approach. But for people in places like, Wisconsin, tomorrow is a very large day. I had a note in just before airtime from our buddy Flavio. He says, I'm a good Catholic kid, and I'll say my prayers tonight, but goddammit, it ain't looking good. I hope I'm totally wrong. I'd love to see Walker gone, or better yet, behind bars. I hope Hillary doesn't run in 2016. My ideal ticket, my dream ticket, if you will, is Bernie Sanders for president, Elizabeth Warren for VP. And I will add editorially, Flavio, that ain't gonna happen. Now, I'm not saying it ain't, the vice president part is not gonna happen. Elizabeth Warren, I don't think, at least in this cycle, I don't think Elizabeth Warren's running for president. I'm gonna take the woman at her word that she's not gonna run. And especially if all the doomsaying prognostication comes true, I want that woman in the Senate. I really, really do. Flavio notes, I can't vote because I'm only a resident alien. I keep my antennae safely tucked behind my ears so as not to frighten anybody. Alien, yeah. Uncle Martin. I'm afraid Scott Walker will win again. All the Dems could come up with is Mary Burke. Jesus, we are so screwed in Wisconsin. Well, I know that a lot of my more progressive friends in Wisconsin will be engaging in some nose-holding tomorrow. And you know what? If I was a Wisconsin voter, I'd be standing right there holding my nose and voting for Mary Burke, too. I wish a tried-and-true progressive like Kathleen Vinehout from the Wisconsin State Senate was running, was on the ticket. She ain't. And no matter how hard they wish, little froggies have yet to develop wings to keep them from bumping their little butts when they hop. I'll say this much to Wisconsin voters. It is imperative that you go and vote for Mary Burke for one very important reason. If Scott Walker is reelected, and, you know, it's a dead heat right now. It's like a one-point race, according to the pollsters, if you believe them. If Scott Walker is reelected, then his presidential ambitions remain alive. If he's defeated, he's meat. He's toast. The Koch brothers will walk away from him and go and find another pony to ride. Flavio continues, the economy in the state across the river from me is booming, and we here are stagnating. If things get any worse here, I'm probably moving to Minnesota. I can't stand Walker, but I'm afraid with all the redistricting and shit, e.g. how dumb people are in this state, he's going to win. Say a little prayer for Wisconsin. We need it. Warmest regards, Flavio. Can I get a question answered? How is it that a person from a foreign country who is here as a permanent resident thereof, who pays taxes, who lives in a community, who participates in community, who embraces the American experience and the democratic process, can't vote. How is the experience of a resident alien any less vital than that of a born citizen? See, I think if you're participating in the process, you ought to have a say-so in how the process is run. But there I am. Yeah, that goes back to something Dr. John and I discussed one time when he said, and I adopted it, stole it from him. When people say, you're a liberal, I say, no, I'm much more radical than that. I know a lot of my progressive friends up in the Northwoods will be going to cast ballots against Sean Duffy. I thought he looked much better with the webbed feet. No, that was Patrick Duffy. Sean Duffy is just a useless Tea Party jackass from near Ashland. Wisconsin's going to be interesting tomorrow. And I don't even know if there's a remote chance, even a snowball's chance in hell, of Wisconsin getting its legislature back out of the clutches of Alec and the Koch brothers. Hey, we're down to $70 to go for this evening's matching challenge from Shirley in Wisconsin, Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. Thank you very kindly, Carol. Making progress. Note coming in from Roger. Subject line, Texas IDs for voting this year. Probably the single most disenfranchised state in the union will be Texas this year. That's a, somehow or another, that's a bell we don't seem to be able to unring before Election Day, though something may happen afterwards. But as it stands, lots of those people will not be voting in Texas Stan. Texas Stan, interestingly enough, on this Moran Monday, Texas Stan, a place where a month or so ago, a fella got taken down for possession of a whole bunch of firearms and bomb-making supplies. And big deal, you might respond. It's Texas. That probably happens every day, and I probably would not disagree with you. But it was on the 20th day of October when agents from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives arrested a guy named Kevin K.C. Massey. Of course, every time I see the name Massey, I think about our friends at the former Massey Energy, now Alpha Natural Resources, and their heroic, psychotic, sociopathic former leader, Don Blankenship, who helped incinerate 29 human beings at the Upper Big Branch Mine. Kevin K.C. Massey was arrested on October the 20th by the ATF. The ATF on a hunch, I suppose, obtained a search warrant, and no, that had to be on oath or affirmation, didn't it, according to the Fourth Amendment? Yes, it did. Searched Kevin K.C. Massey's hotel room, and what did they find there? Well, they found a cache of weapons. No further details on how many weapons. Well, we could probably find that out. Yes, let's do. And a tidy supply of a little something-something called ammonium nitrate. Ammonium nitrate? You remember ammonium nitrate. Yes, it's a fertilizer. It's a dessert topping. It's a high explosive. It's the high explosive that Timothy McVeigh used when he decided to take down the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City and killed a bunch of human beings in the process. It's also the terroristic explosive that is used to the tune of 5.5 million pounds per day. Now you see why I thought of Massey Energy when I saw his name, in Appalachia in the mountaintop removal process. One small charge on a mountaintop removal site can be the explosive equivalent of around 22 to 25 Tomahawk cruise missiles. Absent the extremely expensive delivery system. Yeah. Ammonium nitrate. Put a little diesel fuel with that. And you've got the potential for a whole lot of bang. Let's see. Also included in the bust, an AK-47, a 6 loaded magazines, a loaded handgun, a ballistic helmet, and several cameras. Now, Kevin K.C. Massey refers to himself as the CO, the commanding officer, of Camp Lone Star. Camp Lone Star is a militia group. Actually, militia group is the term we use when it's white people. Otherwise, we would call it terrorist gang. But Kevin Casey Massey's a little too pink for that. He was charged with possession of a firearm by a convicted felon because of a felony burglary conviction back in 1988. What led the ATF to Kevin Casey Massey, commanding officer of the Camp Lone Star? Yeah, that sounds like somewhere you'd send your kids for a few weeks in the summer to get a little relief. You and the kids. But no, they're a border protection patriot movement. And it turned out that on August the 29th, a Border Patrol agent fired 4 shots at a man pointing a weapon at the Border Patrol agent near the Rio Grande River. And while pursuing, and this is where it gets a little confusing, according to the report from a paper by the name of the San Antonio Express News, incident during which a Border Patrol agent fired 4 shots at a man pointing a weapon at the agent near the Rio Grande while pursuing a group of immigrants east of Brownsville. Sometimes the language is just imprecise and there's not a hell of a lot the writer can do about it. I don't know if Kevin K.C. Massey was pursuing the immigrants, the Border Patrol agent was pursuing the immigrants, both of them were pursuing the immigrants. It's hard to tell. But suffice to say, that's a disturbing picture, to say the least. I think suffice to say, and to say the least, makes that rather a redundant statement, doesn't it? So anyway, so he gets popped. What's a guy who's protecting the border need with a bunch of ammonium nitrate, anyway? What does God need with a starship? There's our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. Well, it turns out, this is the fun part, Kevin K.C. Massey, of course, has a Facebook page. And he posted to his Facebook page a couple of pictures. Now, Kevin K.C. Massey, when he's just out going around and hobnobbing amongst the hoi polloi, he likes to wear his desert camo, you know, like a real soldier would. Only Kevin K.C. Massey is not a real soldier. He's just a convicted felon with a bunch of guns and apparently ammonium nitrate. But there was a candidate meet and greet. And Kevin K.C. Massey wanted to make sure he met that conservative hero and savior of the future of Texas, Greg Abbott. Mm-hmm. So he had a picture took of him shaking hands with Greg Abbott. And Greg Abbott, of course, being a politician, looks like Kevin Casey Massey, CEO of Camp Lone Star, is just his best friend in the whole wide world. Now, when they were, when this news came out, naturally, people asked the Abbott campaign, why is Greg shaking hands with a potential terrorist? To which a spokescreep for the Abbott campaign said to the San Antonio Express News, well, Greg Abbott didn't know nothing about no ammonium nitrate. He didn't know nothing about no fully loaded AK-47. Didn't know nothing about no whole bunch of loaded magazines in no hotel room. Didn't know nothing about none of that. He don't know nothing. I mean, we have to tie his shoes for him in the morning. I mean, he don't know nothing. I mean, we say, hey, Greg Abbott, would you like to have cream of wheat or cornflakes for breakfast this morning? And you know what he says to us? He says, I don't know. Give me whatever's more conservative and in line with Texas family values. That's what Greg Abbott says. The individual was part of a photo line at a public event, and Greg Abbott took a photo with everyone who was in the line at that event, said the spokescreep. And, of course, it was 4 days before he done got rearrested. It wasn't like he was arrested for being in, a felon in possession of a firearm. But before, we didn't know nothing. We don't know nothing about nothing. And if we did, we was only following orders. Naturally, I don't know. I'll rely on the Texas members of the Horn Family Commune congregation. I'll rely on them for the skinny on whether or not this is being at all covered in the Texas for-profit media. Jesus God. Well, don't worry. A lot of people have put out a lot of effort on behalf of Wendy Davis. But there's a lot of money involved in that there. That there, Greg Abbott campaign. And after all, he's the one running with family values. And he's the one who's ginned up the electorate right smart like with the abortion Barbie Wendy Davis that comes with scissors and a removable fetus. Yeah. Okay, thank you, Texas T in the chat room. Oh, Bob, nary a word. Of course not. If the for-profit media in Texas or anywhere else reported on anything else except poll numbers, well, the printing presses would probably catch fire. That's what I was afraid of. Nice little group started up in the Moran Monday chat room. Good evening, Anatole. Good evening, Carol Baker, as previously noted. Good evening, HZ. Good evening, John. Good evening, Michael and Naris. Narissa? Hard to tell sometimes. Good evening, Ron. Good evening, Sergi. And, yes, good evening, Texas T. All capably moderated by longtime, indefatigable, veteran Horn chat room moderators, Lottie and Sparky. See what I mean? Moran Mondays get busy in a hurry. Hey, Devin just wandered into the chat room. Good evening, Devin. Good evening to the angry Indian who just sent a note through on Skype. Pax Vobiscum also. Otque at Otquepoxwobiscum. Angry. Naris A. Okay. Thank you. That's clear for me now. I appreciate it. Oh, where else to go? Hey, here's a fun one. Let's see, we dealt with that. No? Okay. This one kind of has to run up toward the top of the page. We all know that hog castrator Joni Ernst very likely will be, and now listen, if you're listening from Iowa, Stan, for God's sakes, do not take anything I say as meaning the conclusion is foregone and that you have any excuse not to go out and try to save your state from a hog castrator. For F's sake, go vote. But, oh my God, Joni Ernst, and you'd pay money for film footage of this, wouldn't you? Joni Ernst ran up head-to-head with none other in Iowa stand today than Charlie Pierce. Charlie, probably the sharpest political commentator out there today, working, even got to engage in a colloquy with Joni Ernst, hog castrator and wild-eyed teabagger. I mean, this woman actually worries about Agenda 21, okay? I mean, that's kind of the pole star, the lodestone of baggery. Agenda 21! Blue helmets! Lubbock! Blah! Right. In the exchange, Joni Ernst and Charlie Pierce writes about this and posts extensively over at Esquire.com, the politics blog, hauled out what, for Mr. Pierce, was apparently a new euphemism for Barack Obama, and an awfully big word for Joni Ernst. She said that one in her White House is apathetic. He's just standing back and letting things happen. He is reactive rather than proactive. With Ebola, we see he's very hands-off. He's not leading. He's not leading! To which Charlie Pierce asked a completely reasonable question. Okay, by the way, get out the duct tape. No, really, get out the hockey pucks. This one's going to... You'll leave teeth marks with this one. So Charlie Pierce says, what should he have done about Ebola? One person in America has Ebola. And proving that she has studied at the feet of the master and been a right damn fine student, Joni Ernst replies, okay, you're the press, you're giving me your opinion. Joni Ernst said that the fact that only one person in America has Ebola is a matter of opinion. Chewing on it yet? Getting that springy feeling in your jaws from, because the rubber's kind of hard in a hockey puck. Oh, this woman's dumber than a stump. Meanwhile, and I want to be careful about this one because I may need some schooling on this. Outgoing Senator Tom Harkin, who I imagine is probably, I would hope, regretting his choice to absent himself from the Senate. I'll miss him. Tom Harkin, out on the stump for Bruce Braley, said, referring to Joni Ernst, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't have the quote right in front of me, I don't care if she's as pretty as Taylor Swift or as friendly as Mr. Rogers. And went on to explain why no way would he vote for Joni Ernst. This, of course, occasioned a for-profit media conniption. And suddenly, this has turned into an entire self-perpetuating meme. See? Democrats have a women problem, too. Because I'm trying to sort this out here, and I really want some help, and I don't want to be an asshole about this. I guess by saying, if Joni Ernst was as pretty as Taylor Swift, Tom Harkin, by extension, said that Joni Ernst isn't as pretty as Taylor Swift. And that is off limits because one does not comment on a woman's appearance who is a political candidate. Here's my question. What if he had said, I don't care if she is as pretty as Scott Brown? That would seem to be equal opportunity. Scott Brown was pretty enough to be a playgirl centerfold. No, because then we'd be comparing her to a man. Okay, so that's out. Do we ever talk about how butt ugly male, and that's where the trouble starts. Do we ever talk about how butt ugly male politicians are? And is it okay if we do or not? Is it somehow incivil? Well, I'm with you, Devin. Devin says, I'm more concerned about Amendment 1 than Agenda 21. I guess it's just incivil to refer to... I mean, Mitch McConnell really does look like a turtle. There's no getting around it. Even his own supporters know he looks like a turtle. He ain't got no chin, just like a turtle ain't got no chin. He's got a head that looks like it's getting ready to retract back into its shell, just like a turtle. He's got a sugar daddy father-in-law with a boatload of cocaine, just like a... Oh, well, see, okay, the analogy does fail after all. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe loudmouth, smart alecky talk radio types can talk about someone's appearance. I do remember noting that Joe Manchin, as a Democrat, is about as much of a Democrat as Blanche Lincoln of Arkansas was, only with much better hair. And look, damn it! It's true! Joe Manchin has fabulous hair! I mean, he's got coiffed, blow-dried hair. I mean, he's the envy of a Hollywood hairdressing joint. That's some pro hair. And you gotta have some good hair if you want to convince the hillbillies that it's okay for him to support the companies that are poisoning them to death. Yeah, I agree, Ron in Raleigh. Ron in Raleigh noting, I guess in Iowa the hogs are in the tunnel. That That, of course, comes from Dr. Hunter S. Thompson in the later years of his life when he said, the hogs are in the tunnel and they will travel on a road of bones. Yeah, Devin, I guess methylchlorohexane, methanol, and coal black will give you some fabulous hair. You know, right before it falls out, the fact that it hasn't is probably proof. So it would probably be far better if Senator Harkin had not said that. Now, notice there was no complaint about the comparison to Mr. Rogers and niceness. So let's just put that on the board. Don't do that. I'll try not to. I probably shouldn't have compared Joe Manchin's hair to Blanche Lincoln's, when actually I was comparing Joe Manchin to Blanche Lincoln, not their hair, but their voting style of not supporting Democratic ideas unless someone, you know, had their arm twisted behind their back. Yeah, tomorrow, of course, like I said, is a national IQ test. And the national IQ test may very well be failed by voters in Iowa, or a majority of the people who bother to go out to vote, which is not a majority of Iowans. If as many as 40% come out to vote in Iowa, I will be surprised. So, the fact that there is only one, and really, that encapsulates the very essence of right-wingery in this country. When a candidate who will likely represent the people of an entire state gets to say that whether or not there is one person in America with Ebola is a matter of opinion. And bless his heart, I guess Charlie Pierce's dander was up a little bit because he pushed back. He said, that's not an opinion. It's a fact. Only one person in America has Ebola. At which Joni Ernst realized that she was in a little bit of a corner. So when you're cornered and you're a repig-licking, you channel your inner weasel. And she responded, but he's the leader. What he can do is make sure that all of those agencies are coordinating together and make sure that he's sharing that information with the American people, that he cares about their safety. And Charlie follows up and says, so he doesn't care about the people with the disease? I don't know that he does. He hasn't demonstrated that. I'm sorry. I'm done. Anybody else? Doesn't the fact that you ask, anybody else, doesn't that indicate that you're not done? That you are in, no, that's, I'm sorry, I'm stupid, I'm retreating. Has anybody got a softball for me? I got to say that the Moran Monday early lead has to go. To Joni Ernst. Yeah, see, well, her handlers have probably by now made sure that everybody in the team knows now what Charlie Pierce looks like. Carol noting in the chat room, I wouldn't want to say something that stupid in front of Charlie Pierce. Yeah, she's got the lead, right? And let's be honest. From the standpoint of doing this program, Joni Ernst, unless she somehow miraculously manages to ignore her inner teabagger. Joni Ernst is going to be a six-year-long comedic Moran Monday gift that keeps on giving. She's going to be a joy to behold. Whenever some godforsaken teabagger stands up in the, you know, say you're Ted Cruz or whatever, and announces something agonizingly ignorant, we know Joni Ernst is going to be there as a farce multiplier. It would probably be a lot less fun with Bruce Braley. But at times like this, we have to put our personal needs, desires, hopes, aspirations, and ambitions aside. So please, if you're in Iowa, go and try to save America from her, because I'll just throw this in for good measure. The minute she is elected, I mean by a margin of chronometric measurement indiscernible to current standards, instant she is elected, she will be touted as vice presidential material. Hoo-wee! Oh, good, 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 Carol. The Baker clan are all voting for Braley, with the exception of my teabagger brother. Hi, Barbie! Yeah, let that wander around your noggin for a little bit. Just enjoy it. See you, Naris. Say it with me. Joni Ernst, vice presidential material. I mean, she's a veteran. She's a hog killer. She's got them Iowa family values, and she loves her some little fetuses. Mm-hmm. She will be vice presidential material like that. It's kind of like Scott Walker, a little to the east and north. If Wisconsin will only be so kind as to end Scott Walker's political ambitions, the nation can be saved from him. And maybe, I don't know, maybe that clears the way for Jebby. Yeah, see, you try to think of Joni Ernst, vice presidential material, and your brain just starts hurting. Oof. So I'm 10 minutes into the second hour of the program. We are by no means out of Morans. We got lots of Morans. Lots and lots of Morans. Got a trip to New Hampshire stand coming. But we need to get some of your... some of your nominations in as well. So that means it's time for me to remind you of the means of reaching the program. 1, the Skype phone line, area code 304-574-8178. That doesn't mean that you have to use Skype. It means it's tied to a Skype account. 304-574-8178. Or the Gizmo line, area code 304-663-4676. Area code 304-663-HORN, H-O-R-N. See how easy that is to memorize, 663-HORN. Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. Email, Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com. Twitter, at Bob Kincaid, same spelling. Facebook, Bob Kincaid, no changes. And you can always send a request to jine up with theheadonradionetwork.com, the Horn, our Facebook group. And you will be approved and in there in no time flat. Okie dokie. Well, shucks. Let us forego the top of the hour break and go straight to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, partner. What part of the country would you like to go to?
Oh, God, Carol. Washington, Oregon, California, Vermont.
Maine.
Maine.
That moron, Paul LePage, is going to be reelected?
Oh, Jesus.
Captain Ebola himself?
Oh, God. And I mean, that's kind of a done deal, isn't it?
It is a done deal.
Mike Michaud, who would be a perfectly good governor of Maine, is going to be bounced out of the process because there's another arguably liberal person splitting the ticket. Is that the deal? Do I have that right?
You got it right.
Oh.
And instead of one just backing out so that they have a chance, they get that many more years of Mr. So women ingest dioxins and they grow a little mustache. What's the problem?
Oh, he said that. Yeah, he said that, didn't he? Too early for the swirly straw in the fruit jar?
It's not. Listen, I put the swirly straw down in the bottle of peach wine. And
yeah, I've been hearing about the peach wine.
I'm hitting it hard. I was pretty lit the other night. By the time the show was over, I was glad I didn't call in.
Oh, well, you don't know the challenge I face sometimes.
Oh,
I mean,
yes,
every
I
night my life becomes unmanageable.
Well, and here's the thing, is that Mike just posted something in the chat room. He said, I have a very bad feeling tomorrow is going to be a crappy day. And why wouldn't he think that? Everybody's thinking that. Because that's what we're being told on every platform,
yeah.
Every state.
Even the ones that we think we can trust
are telling us we're going to get the floor mopped with us. So we should just save our gas money and stay home. And I do not believe that there is an enthusiasm problem with the Democrats. I think the Democrats are pissed off. I think the Democrats are mobilizing. And I think we're going to have some good races tomorrow.
I hope so. I mean,
I don't trust the polls. I do not trust the polls. I have a friend who is, I can't even remember what state she's in at the moment, but she's been hitting the phones for the last 5 days, and what she's getting on the phone polls from voters is not a conservative, enthusiastic signal at all. Democrats seem very, very ready to get to the polls. And Joni Ernst, contrary to popular belief, Joni Ernst, for as good as she looked, Braley is surging in the polls in Iowa.
God, I hope
he
is.
That guy in Alaska, the Democrats are surging in Alaska. Of all places,
I want to stay away from any. I want to be never as heard a discouraging word. Go for Christ's sakes in Iowa. Go in Alaska. Good God, go in Wisconsin. Now, nobody's going to unseat Monsieur Gomer.
No.
And I think if John Oliver...
Rafael Cruz?
If John Oliver... Oh, my... Yes. Theodore, son of Raphael. That would be Raphael the First, King of America. If John Oliver is to believe, there are over 1,000 races in this country where there's no competition.
That's right.
And maybe sometimes that's because the person in office is just doing such a doggone good job that nobody wants to replace him or her.
Where would that be?
You find it, you tell me.
I haven't found it yet, Bob.
No. And I guess there are no Senate seats up in Texas. Ted, son of Raphael, isn't up. He won't be up for another 4 years, I don't think. And then, who's the other one? God, why can't, oh, that's weird. I can't remember the other lunatic from Texas. But
that is so weird. Come on, Chatters. Who's the other senator from Texas?
Is it John Cornyn still? Texas fascinates me. I mean, not Texas. Kentucky Stand fascinates me.
Exactly.
And where Kentucky and West Virginia are concerned, I do want to say this much. No matter what happens tomorrow in the Senate races in either state, and this is a hallmark of the problem, no matter what happens tomorrow in either of those two Senate races, in Kentucky or West Virginia, a friend of Cole...
That's right. Cole wins.
...is going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm harder on myself than I am on anybody else, and I extend my feelings about myself to the broader progressive community, Carol, I say that's our fault. I mean, it's not yours. You're not in Kentucky. But it's mine in West Virginia, and it's progressives in Kentucky's. Because we have not been loud enough and vocal enough in explaining the necessity that we finally break the stranglehold. I mean,
I checked, Bob, you weren't rich enough to buy a senator.
Or run to be one.
Or run to be one, because that would take several million. But you got a couple million bucks flying around there? I don't know about.
It's in the big giant Budweiser bottle bank. but we do. We need better progressive infrastructure. We need to compete in primaries.
Bob, decent people don't want to run for public office because of what they do to them, because of what the media and opposition research does to them. There is no decent human being who's smart enough to want to do that.
Now, I want to be clear about this, Carol. By decent human being, we're talking about progressives, liberals, Democrats, right?
Listen, I got tapped and asked to run for the state legislature here. And before I could even, and I told him I'd think about it. And before I could even say anything, I got an envelope in the mail with all kinds of stuff about my background. None of it bad. I mean, none of it bad, but all of it that could be twisted to make me look like, you know, who was that woman who killed all those... Who was that hooker who killed all the guys down in Florida? Aileen Wuornos?
Yeah,
they could have made me look like her by the time they were done. They made it very clear that if I ran, they'd come after me.
Well, And
why would I want to put myself through that? Is money there? Take out a second mortgage on my house.
So is money then, I mean, does it provide, is it like a really, really lofty, warm quilt in the dead of winter? Does it provide insulation against that kind of stuff? Or if you're rich enough, it just doesn't matter?
If you're rich enough, it doesn't matter.
Because ordinary human beings, because we don't have loads of money, all we have is the goodwill of our community?
Pretty much. Now, they said if I would run as a Republican, they wouldn't touch me. But if I would run as a Democrat, they were coming after me.
Jesus.
I was told flat out I could have the Republican legislative seat for the asking. And, you know, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do it.
Well, no, but that kind of means our little R Republican experiment is dead, doesn't it?
Pretty much. Until the revolution.
I hope we don't get into it. I hope we don't get into it over this, Carol. But there ain't gonna be none.
I don't know, Bob. I think once you make enough people feel helpless, I think once you put enough people out of work and you put enough people running the hamster wheel at a wage that they can't afford to live on, at some point the masses will get fed up.
Yeah, but do what? I mean, that's where. Because, see, the reason, and maybe I'm giving away, playing a little bit of unfair inside baseball here, but you remember the clip that engendered the beginning of your column, right?
Sure.
Where the young guy says, I don't vote. I'm not going to vote.
Yep.
Well, there is an element here in the opposition to mountaintop removal that are anarchists.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to work for the deindustrialization of America and the coming imminent collapse of capitalism, and then mountaintop removal will just collapse with capitalism. Do you see that in your lifetime or mine?
Oh, I think when they figure out that they've been sold a bill of goods and they got used, they'll figure it out, but far too late.
Because I do. I've got that negative notion that everything's going to be status quo ante as long as the cable stays on. I mean, and I've actually now got empirical evidence to support my position, Carol.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen a controversy erupt in this state like the one that erupted when Comedy Central went away from Suddenlink cable.
I believe that.
No, I mean, people went sideways over. God damn it, I'm going to Dish. And now people who have Dish are pissed off all over America because Cartoon Network's gone.
Exactly.
Now make the rest of it go away and people might get out on the street.
That's why I cut the cable.
Yeah. I mean,
I got off the hamster wheel.
Well, I mean, we got so much going on. It is. I actually was hoping Boss Man Wayne might call in this evening. There is so much at stake in this state tomorrow, and a lot of this by virtue of the efforts. Yeah, I mean, they're still poor. The Koch brothers and Karl Rove and, you know, the usual suspects are pouring tons of money into national races, or, you know, there's only one national race, but you get my meaning. But you can buy yourself a legislature for a hell of a lot cheaper, a state legislature.
Oh, hell yeah.
And that's why they've turned their efforts toward the state legislatures, and when you consider, Carol, how, I mean, broke down, piss poor this state is.
Mm-hmm.
And you consider the amount of and the amount of money that's been poured into this election between, you know, a handful of candidates, most of it coming from the Koch brothers and their shadow groups. the number of problems that could have been solved by the money that's been spent in political advertising in this state in the last 6 months is staggering. We could have built schools. We could have fixed roads. We could have replaced bridges. We could have, I don't know, put back lines taken down by coal trucks hauling heavy equipment. But instead, it's all going into the pockets of the owners of the media in this state. We stand a very good chance tomorrow of seeing right to work come to West Virginia. And that's especially odious because that's something that my grandfather, my great-grandfather fought, you know, a decent wage and decent hours. They literally put their lives on the line for. And the Koch brothers and Alec and the Rapiglickens and Karl Rove may very well manage to take that away tomorrow, because if for the first time in 83 years, I think, if this legislature goes Republican, the first thing they're coming after is the unions.
Oh, absolutely. Bob, tomorrow's election is going to cost almost $4 billion.
I mean, good God.
According to the Center for Responsive Politics, and $4 billion is 10 times more than the government committed to fight Ebola in West Africa. And it is...
I mean, we could bomb ISIL at $8 million a day for a couple of years on that kind of money.
We could buy 25 F-18 fighter jets. We could pay for more than 12,000 students' K-12 education and have enough money left over to buy a Hollywood summer blockbuster.
Jesus.
Think about that. And all they are glorified marketing campaigns. It took Apple, the world's most valuable company, 4 years to spend $4 billion advertising dollars.
The Republic's... Okay, I don't know. Don't anybody not go vote because of me saying this. The Republic's dead. Has been.
I know. I'm going to vote tomorrow, too. I'll be one of the first ones online at 6 a.m. In Kentucky, a dark money group that's working to reelect Mitch McConnell already spent about $7.5 million making the Kentucky Opportunity Coalition the biggest spending single candidate dark money group in the history of the Senate. And because they could take unlimited contributions to support McConnell, it circumvents federal contribution limits. And that's happening all over this country.
So you want to get out your sort of hazy little crystal ball and tell me something, Carol?
Sure.
What does this country look like when these thugs finally get their way?
It will look like the 1930s Depression era, when everybody was living in shacks and
Hoovervilles.
Hoovervilles. And there will be just the robber barons will have it all.
So who's going to buy their shit?
Well, they haven't sold that far yet.
Well, no, because I think they have. They're going to sell their shit to China and India.
No.
Because they have, well, you've heard the term, they have an emerging middle class.
Yeah. Wish we did.
Whereas we have a dying middle class. Wonder why that is.
Well, it interestingly coincides with the collapse of the unions and decent wages in manufacturing. And
because I don't think, and this goes back to my thesis, Carol, that just because you're rich does not mean you're smart. Most of the people on the right who are hailed as intelligent are actually what intelligent people sound like to dumb people.
Exactly.
Because there's no way you can play me a sound clip of Ted Cruz and have me with what little state level, you know, I just went to a shitty little state school, okay? But with the education that I got, there's no way you can convince me that Ted Cruz is intelligent. Same
rich
for
people
Paul.
Don't sound smart.
Same for Rand Paul and that thing on his head. Same for let's see.
Donald Trump and that thing on his head.
Oh Jesus. Yeah. It's gonna. And so I think that because they define their worlds by their avarice, they are going to wreck this place again. I mean, look, the financial crash of 2008 was the brainchild of the first 7 years of this decade and some of the neoliberal policies of the last few years of the previous one.
Mm-hmm.
Glass-Steagall.
Yes.
You know, and it's, you know, we all, you know, credit default swaps, the bubble, yada, yada, yada. These are all just carny dodges that were dreamed up by people who sound smart to dumb people.
Exactly.
And so my thesis is that these people are so blinded by their avarice that they don't realize that they're going to tear this whole, what remains of an economy, to pieces. You know, we had that conversation a couple of weeks ago about what real unemployment numbers are in this country. This country is in a bad way.
That's right.
But guess where we're going to go if they get the Senate tomorrow? Have you seen?
It's going to get way worse.
Well, I mean, and this, you know, it's
and
not.
And it's still going to be blamed on President Blackenstein.
Sure, and that's been driven home. Theodore Cruz, son of Raphael, anointed king of America, has said that by God, if the Senate gets back into Republican hands, he won't necessarily back Mitch McConnell. So that means if Mitch McConnell wants Ted, son of Raphael's support, there's going to have to be some ring-kissing involved.
Oh, I think if the Republicans take it all tomorrow, which I just don't get that feeling, you know. It was when we were coming into 2010 or 2012 and everyone was so sure the president wouldn't be reelected and all the polls were telling us that Romney was going to take it and Ohio was going to go for Romney and Florida was going to go for Romney and everything was going to go for Romney. You know, Karl Rove is still in the basement over at Fox News waiting for Ohio to flip for Romney. So, and that night I sat and started watching some of the early returns and I kind of go between Twitter and Facebook and I have this live radio free smartass thing that I do every election day
mm-hmm.
where I report everything that's going on the elections and I called it all early and I think I got all but one race wrong. And people were sitting there going, you're out of your mind. There's no way they're going to win by that much. And I'm like, I'm telling you, it's a good night tonight. And there were a lot of happy people.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that Ted, son of Raphael, says is the first order of business of a Republican Senate should be looking at the abuse of power, the executive abuse, the regulatory abuse, the lawlessness that sadly has pervaded this administration. So, I've been told that I was just crazy for thinking that the Republicans, if they got the Senate, would start getting all impeachy. I don't feel so crazy anymore.
No, you shouldn't.
It's where they're going. Now,
it is where they're going.
What does this mean for 2016? Because I guess now we can really start talking about it, right?
Yep.
Ted's feeling all presidential. Randy Paul and that thing on his head are feeling presidential. We will know after tomorrow whether or not Scott Walker is still presidential.
Jeb Bush is going to run.
Oh, I think, I mean.
Jebby's going to run. Listen, he can say fuck you in Spanish. So he's ready to go.
Yeah, his Spanish will be considerably better than that of his dumber brother.
Absolutely.
But, you know, his wife is, as we say in these parts, not from round here.
Mexican. And he's got brown babies.
Well, with none other than Barbara Bush, the child, the love child of the Quaker Oats man, telling us as much at the 1988 Republican National Convention. There's my son, Georgie, and there's my son, Jebby. And Jebby's children are with him. I call them the little brown ones.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me how that's going to...
Chris Christie's going to run, but he's not going to get the nomination.
Yeah, but how's that wrong toned wife going to play with the baggers, Carol?
Not good. Not good. And then, of course, I don't have any doubt that Hillary's going to announce, and then it's going to be, we're going to have to go through the whole Vagzilla.
Oh, it'll be sickening. But the thing is,
we're going to go from racist to sexist in 2 seconds flat.
Here's the thing, though. The eternal mortifying shame of La Familia Bush is that they got their ass handed to them by that redneck from Arkansas.
Yeah.
I mean, George only ran in 2000 to avenge his daddy. Because there are issues. Jebby will not run unless he feels like he has got a lead pipe cinch certainty of beating or not having to face Hillary Clinton. Because
everything Jeb's saying, though, is making me think he's going to run.
Oh, I think he wants to.
He wants to.
And you know who else wants to? Bishop Willard wants to.
Yes, yes. I've already heard Queen Anne softening the ground for that one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know what? I would love nothing better than a year and a half long throwdown between Bishop Willard and Bush the Smarter.
Oh, me too. But the Republicans have already said they're not going to have the endless debate season that they had?
Yeah.
They saw how badly that hurt them last time because they're all incredibly stupid. And they've said flat out there's no way that they're going to permit that to happen again.
They may say that, Carol, but I don't think they'll be able to resist it.
I hope you're right.
A dog returns ever to its vomit.
That is true.
It's also disgusting at certain people's dinner time, but yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
So.
And they do love the sound of their own voices.
Oh yeah. And
someone said, they've all got their heads up their asses, and I said, I'm not sure whether they like the smell or the acoustics better.
Or the view.
But yes, I understand.
And, by the way, since I said this before the call began, what do you think Barbie said to herself when I said, Joni Ernst, vice presidential material?
She was laying in her little bed screaming at the top of her lungs because she listens faithfully every night now. And I know that she's sitting at home going, oh, no way. Because she called me a week ago and she's like, I don't know who's on the ticket. I don't know what's going on. So I went through, I pulled up her ballot, went through all the races with her. She knows exactly what to do. And there's only one tricky race in Iowa, and that is that Senate race, because they've got another teabagger running in that race who is running as a Democrat to try and split the Democratic vote and take it away from Braley.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, nobody's talking about that.
I didn't know that.
But I saw the ballot. Yeah, I saw the ballot. And I know who it is, and it's a bagger.
But, I mean, how can another Democrat run against are they running as an independent?
Well, that's what I thought. But there are two Democrats on that ballot.
Well, how in...
Because it's Iowa, and there's some rule in there that Governor Branstad got fixed up. And he's another one. He's another one. He's going to get reelected. He's going to fail to reelection.
Okay.
And he's a disgusting.
All right. And by the way, being gentle with me, please, Carol. Can you help me through this? Can you help me through the Tom Harkin Nothing Burger?
Tom Harkin Nothing Burger?
Yeah. The direct quote. I don't care if she's as good-looking as Taylor Swift or as nice as Mr. Rogers, but if she votes like Michelle Bachmann, she's wrong for the state of Iowa. Tom Harkin talking about Joni Ernst.
Tom Harkin wasn't making a sexist comment, but anything he said, they were going to twist and turn. They're going to say, if he doesn't vote for me, he's not voting for me because I've got a virginda, not because I'm dumb as a stump.
Oh, God.
No, Joni, you're dumb as a stump. The virginda is just an aside.
Okay, so I'm leaving that one alone. It ain't neither. It's right where all the others are. See, I didn't leave it alone. Can't do that to me.
I do it to you all the time.
Yes, you do. There are different rules that apply to progressives versus conservatives, Republicans versus Democrats.
Yeah.
And I actually want to do the right thing. And sometimes in a fit of smartassery, I have said things like Joe Manchin, just like Blanche Lincoln, only with better hair. And this Tom Harkin comment has me actually engaging in reflection, trying to figure out if I'm being ignorantly sexist, because I don't ever want to be that, Carol.
You're not. You're not. And Harkin didn't mean it in a sexist way. There wasn't anything sexist in what he said.
Okay, so if it's just, I don't care if she's as nice as Mr. Rogers, if she votes like Michelle Bachmann, she's wrong for the state of Iowa. You're saying then that would have been okay. You're saying actually the whole thing was okay.
The whole thing was okay.
But the for-profit media got hold of it and turned it into a giant nothing burger.
You know, I don't hear the for-profit media saying one word when Luke Russert asks Nancy Pelosi if she's too old to be the minority leader. I don't hear anybody from the mainstream media defending Hillary when her age is brought up on a regular basis, and she's a long way from being the oldest person to ever run for president.
I think she's a long way from having her brain eaten up like by spirochetes like Ronald Reagan did. Alzheimer's, my ass.
But they talk about her, and by the way, I saw that episode of Alpha House where that female senator got up and was saying, I'm not, you know, just because she had a serious brain injury, I'm not saying she's not qualified.
Yeah.
That was hysterical. And all of the Benghazi and brain damage references to Hillary, I was on the floor laughing.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know how Gary Trudeau and his writing partner get the scripts done.
I don't know, but it was a gift.
I'm caught all the way up, and I was bummed out last night when I realized I was fresh out of episodes. I'm a binge
viewer.
Well,
I'm not out of episodes, but I went back and I watched both versions of House of Cards.
See, I need to go. I need to go back and write and watch the BBC. I mean, I love Kevin Spacey, but
I do too. But everybody was saying once you've seen the Kevin Spacey one, you can't watch the BBC version. And I got to tell you, I'm sitting there going, "Oh my God, that's the United States right now." The way the Conservative Party talks about poor people and about cutting the social safety net and about extolling the virtues of capitalism.
You know what strikes, course, never having watched it, you know what really struck me? The guy who plays Francis Urquhart, or is
yes,
it Urquhart?
Urquhart.
How does one pronounce it?
Yep. Urquhart.
Urquhart.
Is the way they call it.
You know who he, you know, because I'm one of these, I guess I'm sort of visually challenged. You know who he reminds
yeah.
me of? His the image Ooh. There that you always see of him when that show is referenced. He looks like, I kid you not, he looks like Chauncey Gardner from
Oh my God,
Being
he does.
There. Doesn't he?
He does. Oh my God, but the best part is as I'm watching this, his name is Francis Urquhart. And of course, it's Francis Underwood in the new version.
Right.
But the initials are
F-U.
And they call him F-U. All of the lackeys.
Okay. Here's one of those little diversions that we get into. You might mm-hmm. enjoy this because I see things and I back reference and I wonder because writers are very clever people and I wonder if these are subtle back references. So, Francis Urquhart, Francis Underwood are F.U.
Yes.
There is a magnificently hilarious line in Neil Simon's The Odd Couple,
mm-hmm.
where the relationship, after living together for a little while, the relationship between Felix and Oscar is beginning to go seriously south.
Yes.
And at one point, Oscar... somewhere between screaming and moaning and just be exasperated, says, "I came home the other day, and there was a note that said, 'Dinner is in the oven, F you.'" Took me an hour and a half to figure out F you was Felix Unger.
Felix Unger.
And so, you know, Broadway audiences out there, the movie audience, whatever, are all sitting there laughing because they're in on the joke, you know. Because hard-boiled Oscar thinks he's just been told, you know, F you.
Exactly.
Took me an hour. It took me 15 minutes to figure out F you was Felix Unger.
But F you is kind of, I think it's taken the American public 15 years to figure out that F you means F you.
Yeah, it really does.
It does. And that's why I made the reference in my column yesterday.
Yeah, no, I thought that was just beautifully put together. It was just like, yeah, F you, F you, F you, F you. And then, hey, Appalachia, F you too.
Exactly.
Okay, so, you know this program, Carol, often serves as therapy for me.
Yes.
Okay, so this is the scene from the Charlie Brown cartoons. And you're Lucy and the psychiatrist is in, okay?
Yes.
It is the night before the election, and I don't know what to do. I mean, I know what to do. Go out and find the most progressive candidate you can and vote for that person.
That's all you can do.
Hold your nose. But, and I don't have a single inkling of third partyism. The one third party candidate I would vote for is not in my district. So, you know, I can't help Ed Rabel. And I have massive amounts of respect for Ed Rabel because he would be a million times more useful in Washington than either the little Joe Manchin puppet Nick Casey or the carpetbagger Alex Mooney from Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. Wrong district. No, I get a choice between a gynecologist who has been a Democrat and then a Republican and then a Democrat and now he's a Republican teabagger taking Koch Brothers money. Who loves coal, or my 19 terms incumbent Democratic Congressman Nick Rahal, who loves coal. Now, Nick Rahal has personally seen to it that legislation that would provide some relief to suffering, poisoned, dying constituents gets killed dead in the Congress.
Yes.
He did that. It wasn't much of a bill. It was a little weak-kneed bit of nothing. But there was a thing called the Clean Water Protection Act in the House of Representatives back when we had a Democratic majority, okay?
Yep.
Nick Rahal single-handedly stopped that bill. It had it had over 100 co-sponsors. And it couldn't even get a committee hearing because of Nick Rahal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do I go and vote for Nick Rahal?
Well, you can't vote for the bagger.
No, I can't vote for the bagger. The only thing I've got is vote for Nick Rahal or leave it blank.
Yes.
And leave it blank is, I suppose, a vote for the bagger.
It is.
So the most I can hope for is to vote for him and then march into his office and say, listen, you low-down, scum-sucking son of a bitch, I voted for your ass and helped pull your ass out of the fire. Pay attention. That's it.
And then you go to your mailbox and you open it up, and in it is a bottle of homemade peach wine and a swirly straw. And you get loaded and call it a day.
So, by the way, what's the alcohol content coming off on the peach wine?
It's really strong. I don't know what he did, but...
Oh, it's peach rheumatism medicine.
It is.
Okay, so here's the other race. Natalie Tennant, allegedly a Democrat,
mm-hmm.
versus Representative Shelley Moore Capito.
I heard that.
See, I gotta quit being cute. Now, Shelley is, you know, one of those the apple falleth not far from the tree types. Her daddy is the single most crooked politician West Virginia has ever birthed. When he dies, they'll have to screw him into the dirt. He took oodles of money from the coal industry, but it wasn't enough, and so he shook them down for more.
Yep.
Not kidding. She's a millionaire. She's the one who laughed about the freedom disaster. Our basement got flooded, so I think we know a little bit more about this, and it's really, you know, it's really kind of funny. 300,000 people got poisoned. God knows how many of them will develop cancer between now and 20 years from now. It's kind of funny. Did the Democrats in this state have enough common goddamn sense to beat her to death with that in the ad campaigns?
No. Or primary her with a decent candidate. No.
Well, I mean, yeah, we didn't. Exactly. So she is faced with Natalie Tennant, the present Secretary of State, and a very ambitious young woman. She's the only woman ever to wear the Mountaineer mascot costume at WVU, which is a big deal. I was there, and the sexism was disgusting. We don't want no mountain deer. Give us back our Mountaineer. Because, you know, girls can't wear buckskin.
See, Virgandas matter.
Virgandas matter, exactly. Even the ones that are on the side.
That's right.
God damn it, shame on you. so, I've got a problem here because I put myself in a corner. A few months ago, I wrote an op-ed telling her that I needed her to just acknowledge the bare existence of the studies that acknowledged health problems in the MTR communities. I didn't need her to agree with them. I just simply asked her to acknowledge the existence of the studies. And I said, and if you'll do that, I will give you my vote. If you don't, I won't. Do I swallow my pride, my convictions, and my ethics and go vote for her tomorrow, Carol?
I don't know. In that case, Bob, that may be one I leave blank.
Well, I mean, either I leave it blank or I don't have the courage of my convictions. That's what it feels like. And of course, the minute that thing got published in the Gazette, which is the state paper, I was immediately told that I was going to be personally responsible for the Senate turning Republican.
Oh, horse shit.
And,
all
you
know, she had to do was the right thing. How hard would it have been to acknowledge the existence of the studies?
And instead, when somebody went and asked her about it directly, she said, I support a balanced approach.
Which means what?
Which means more hillbillies keep dying.
Ooh, I love to do a little sidestep.
And we've got another experiment in Somali-style capitalism tomorrow, too. Haiti with cable, as I like to call it. Letting the Boy Scouts run their humongous, I mean, look at it on Google Earth. It's called the Summit Bechtel Camp in Fayette County, here where I live.
I've seen it. They're taxpayer-supported.
Yeah, it's huge. And when they're not using it for Boy Scout jamborees, they want to rent it out for profit but not pay taxes. And we've got a constitution,
exactly.
And we've got a constitutional amendment on the ballot to let them do that. That's easy. I'm voting against that.
Of course not.
Yeah, but will it pass? Hey, it's the Boy Scouts. It's the Boy Scouts. It ain't for nobody else. I mean, we have crafted a constitutional amendment, Carol, for one entity.
Mm-hmm.
That ought to be illegal. That's like passing a constitutional amendment that says there will be no liquor sales on Election Day except for and listing one liquor store.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, we did finally get away with that. It is possible now to buy liquor on Election Day in West Virginia, so freedom. So, I mean, tomorrow's a tough day for me.
It's going to be a tough day for all of us, but I won't walk away from... They're not going to take that away from me. I may lose, but they're not going to take it away from me. I'm going to vote.
Damn Skippy.
And not all of those are going to be, you know, it's going to be the lesser of I don't give a shit in some cases, but I'm voting.
Well, what does your ticket look like in Missouri, Stan?
There isn't much on it for tomorrow. This is a real not important election for us, but there's no doubt that with all of the gerrymandering and everything else that they've done, it's going to be a red sweep. But there's going to be a blue vote in there.
Damn straight.
Because I can.
And they haven't managed to take it away from you yet. Do you have to show ID?
And they can't. Oh, I absolutely do. Didn't have to last time. They tried to make me, but I got my Republican representative and the county clerk to show up at the polling place because I called them, told them to get their asses down there right now. I caused a hell of a stink because they told me I had to show an ID, and I said, no, I don't. Yes, you do. And I had my driver's license in my hand. I wasn't doing it. But I have a driver's license issued by the state of Missouri that shows my address. I have a passport that's issued by the United States State Department, and I have the virtue of being very white.
Right. And that's the thing. So, Nobody's going to challenge me here.
That's right.
Because, you know, I'm sufficiently sunburnable.
Yep. I got a friend in Texas who tried to get in and vote with a veteran's ID, a federally issued veteran's ID, and because it doesn't have his address on it, they wouldn't take it.
Well, interesting you should mention that. I had a note from Roger, and he said, last week I heard you say that the new law in Texas has made it so that a veteran ID card is not considered valid for voting purposes. This made me cry, really.
And it's really true.
He said, later I saw some news reports that said a federally issued veteran's ID was one of the seven kinds of ID that are still acceptable in Texas. This made me go to the Texas site to see what exactly is the case. Here are the seven types listed on the site. The voter must present one of the seven acceptable forms of identification: Texas driver's license issued by the Texas Department of Public Safety, Texas election identification certificate issued by DPS, Texas personal identification card issued by DPS, Texas concealed handgun license issued by DPS, United States military identification card containing the person's photograph, United States citizenship certificate containing the person's photograph, United States passport. As you can see, your reporting, he says, was correct. The point I would like to make is that there has apparently been sufficient blowback about veterans' ID not being considered acceptable to the state of Texas that they have launched a disinformation campaign. Veterans who hear the new mistaken reports will go to the polls to vote only to learn too late that their veteran photo ID isn't good enough after all. What a disgusting place the South this has become, or returned to being. Signed, Roger, ex-Marine and remembrance rug guy. And he goes on and says, I think I should explain about a veteran's ID card. Most veterans do not need or get such an ID. If someone has a veteran's ID card, it means they are being treated by the VA. So it not
That's
only
right.
So not only is Texas willing to forbid people who have veterans' IDs for voting, the very existence of that ID means that they have shed blood in the name of the United States of America.
That is correct. My friend John videotaped and YouTubed his set to with an election official. And he has a driver's license, but he just went there to prove that they wouldn't take a veteran's ID. And it got ugly fast.
And they didn't let him vote.
No, they did not let him vote.
And see, here's the other thing that I find interesting in that list from Roger. How many of those have to be issued by the Texas Department of Public Safety? All but three.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say you've got a couple of unpaid parking tickets.
Yeah.
Are you going to go to the Texas DPS to make sure that you can vote?
Nope.
Should you
Not
be
unless you got the money to pay your ticket.
Should you be disenfranchised from voting over parking tickets?
Nope.
Wonder what would have happened had he not been arrested.
Bob,
I wonder what would have happened.
I
was just going to say, had he not been arrested for being in possession of an AK-47, several loaded magazines, and a shitload of ammonium nitrate, I wonder what it would have happened to Kevin Casey Massey, convicted burglar, had he gone and showed his Texas driver's license to vote.
They'd have let him vote.
Did I mention that he's the right color?
Yeah. Yeah. I went to go get my driver's license renewed, and Whiteman Air Force Base is not far from where I went to go get it, and there was an Iraq War veteran standing right in front of me in full uniform with his ID hanging from his shirt pocket, and he waited in line for the better part of 90 minutes. And got up there, and the state of Missouri would not accept his military ID as ID. And he got turned away after he'd stood in line for an hour and a half. And I would bet you that of all the people that stood in line, I think I was like number 34 in line when I walked in, and it took me over 3 hours to do it. And I was stunned at the number of people who were turned away. They've made it so hard to even get a driver's license here. And I can't count the number of people who said, this is my third trip in to try and get my driver's license.
Jesus.
I know. And they've made it so hard. And their big thing is making sure they're, you know, United Terrorists. Or an illegal.
Because, Ebola. You might be an Ebola.
We have such a fucking border problem here in Missouri.
Goddamn, they're sneaking over from Arkansas all the time.
I guess, you know, and oh, and then the other thing is that they're taking, like, they took a photograph of my old driver's license and my birth certificate and my passport, because I needed everything to get my driver's license. And then all of those copies got sent to a third-party company in Arizona. And I don't know who got all that information on me. They were contracted with a third-party company to go in and verify that all of this stuff was legal. And now you no longer get your driver's license. You get a piece of paper, and once that third-party company verifies that you're really Merkin, then they send you your driver's license.
God almighty.
But for 3 weeks, you got to drive around with a piece of paper. And God forbid if you get stopped.
What the hell do you think you're handing me?
Yeah, exactly. I was nervous as hell. I mean, I haven't had a ticket in years and years, probably 25 years, but still.
Yeah.
Made me nervous.
Okay,
yeah,
here's another fun one to consider, coming in from Robert in Morgantown, Carol.
Yeah.
He says, it's scary to think that tomorrow night we could be talking about how Joe Biden is now the most important man in government and wondering who's going to be Joni Ernst on Saturday Night Live.
I shouldn't laugh, but yeah.
Yeah. No, and I mean, I say what I say about her just based on the way the for-profit media behave. She,
you know, and the interesting thing is that the for-profit media isn't really paying a whole lot of attention. They've written more stories about what Bruce Braley's set to with his neighbor's chickens.
Yeah.
Than they have about all this crazy shit.
Or the Grassley bullshit. Yeah, the Grassley bullshit, because.
Yeah. They don't talk about that. They're not talking about the crazy stuff that she's saying. So people who want to tell me that, you know, the lamestream liberal media, fuck you. Look at who owns the media, and it ain't the left.
Right, exactly.
It's big money. It's all, they're all conglomerates.
Oh, look at the goddamn kerfuffle. Look at the goddamn kerfuffle over Alison Lundergan Grimes not saying that she voted for Obama.
Yes, and Chuck Todd. Oh, and Chuck Todd. Oh, my God. There was a big article this weekend about Chuck Todd being the liberal mouthpiece, and I'm like, what fucking planet are you from?
Galaxy. Universe.
I know. Drink.
Yeah, swirly straw.
I know. The peach wine's coming, buddy.
I'll be looking for it. I'll be needing it.
Because
I'm running out of fruit jar, and there ain't no resupply.
Well, you know, I only sent the good stuff from Missouri, Stan.
Hear, hear. Only good stuff comes from Missouri, Stan, at least in all things save politics. I still remember the stuff that went around the college campus that was referred to as PCP. Pike County Paralyzer.
Hog tranquilizers.
Yeah, I mean, it was skunky and green and sticky. And oh, I think back then a dime bag probably cost $10.
A whole $10?
Well, that's $10 worth of college boy beer money.
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, I had to work a rock solid 3 hours of work study to come up with that.
I hear you, but you know what? I had a higher class of friends. I was smart enough to hang out with the Hawaii delegation.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
And let me tell you something. They brought in some smooth-ass weed back in the 70s. And we used to play every Saturday night with steak night at school. And we used to play Bong 99 before we went down to eat. It was a card game. And we would all be trashed, but we would smoke Hawaiian weed through a bong with blackberry brandy instead of water in the bong. Oh, I'm telling you what, it will mess you up.
Oh, and get a little vaporized alcohol into the, oh my.
Oh yeah, it was fabulous.
Oh, the great yacht builder, Walt Schultz, up in Rhode Island, christens every new yacht that he builds with a little splash of blackberry brandy into the water in the name of placating Neptune, and then he throws a splash or two into Walt Schultz in the name of placating Walt Schultz.
Well, we never drank it. We just drew our smoke through the bong with it. But, it'll get you messed up really good, in case anybody out there's taking notes.
Right.
From the
The other thing, because we didn't have a lot of actual snow in Alabama, one of the things I learned about early on in Missouri was something that the locals referred to as a snow pack.
Mm-hmm.
You pack said bong with snow.
We never tried that.
Oh, it works real good.
We were too busy making daiquiris out of the snow.
and to think of all the mercury that was in that snow, Carol.
Yeah,
explains
but,
a lot.
The fact that I glow in the dark.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell
but
you what,
anyway,
it has been a lovely conversation.
I just wanted to call and let you know, drink up, boys, but I don't think tomorrow's going to be as bad as everybody says it is if we all get out there and do what we have to do.
Well, and at the end of the day...
I think we are enthusiastic.
Yeah, I think we are, and I think there may be some surprises in the bag.
I think there will be, too.
I think it would be funnier than hell if that Purdue creep got dinged in Georgistan, and, you know, weird things could happen in Mississippi Stan, too.
Yes, and I'll be tickled if Bruce Braley beats Joni Ernst, and it could happen.
Please let it happen. Please.
It could happen.
Joni Ernst, vice presidential material, that came into my head a couple of hours before airtime. I went, oh, fuck. Oh.
She's a sad Sarah Palin. She's not even as cute as Sarah Palin.
No. Now, see, you did it again.
And I know I'm not supposed to say
and,
that.
And there is no damn way she's as nice as Mr. Rogers.
No, she isn't.
I know that for a fact.
But I'm all done doing imitations of those people because I listen to the podcast from Friday night and I totally creep the shit out of myself doing Michelle Bach.
Oh, your Michelle had me really, really uncomfortable.
I will never do that again.
not that it was bad, it was a little too good.
It was, yeah, that was the problem. It was a little too good. But anyway, my friend, everybody get out there and vote. And Bob, thanks for everything that you do. I come here every night. I get 3 hours of hope. I get 3 hours of listening to like-minded friends. And I appreciate you.
Thank you, Carol.
And
thank you so kindly.
And just because tomorrow may not go the way we want it to, this is how we move forward, is we do it together.
Exactly.
And all you people in the chat room, they're you people, yes.
Yeah, you people.
You give me hope, and thank you.
Amen to that. You know, that's one of my favorite lines from one of my favorite films, Mate One, Carol, MATEWAN. If you've never seen it, you need to. All we got in common is our misery. Joe Keenihan used to say, and the least we can do is share it.
That's right.
There we go. Carol Baker, have yourself a wonderful evening.
You too, darling. Talk
bye.
To you tomorrow.
All right, bye now. The one, the only, the inimitable Carol Baker. 14 minutes past the hour. I should note here with about 46 minutes remaining in the program, you know, we almost always finish off Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge on the night that it is put forward. We have $75 to go if we are to do that this evening. There are various and sundry combinations, 5 at 15, 15 at 5. any way you slice it, though, yeah, $75 to go, and that money will be doubled along with the other contributions that have come in. That money will be doubled to get us to the doubling effect of Shirley's Wisconsin challenge. Note coming in from Robert in Morgantown. This one hurts. Don't give up hope, Bob. TCU didn't, and look what happened. Yeah, they kept hope alive. Lose 31-30 in the last ticking seconds of the game. Five turnovers, though. You can't turn the ball over five times and expect to win football games. Damn. And I was going to try to no sports, but I can't. I just can't. Let's keep it rolling. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob?
Diane?
This is Diane from Kansastan.
Yes, marvelously coherent, as you are.
Well, it's an aspiration. That's an aspiration. I'm still trying to get over thinking of Carol running on the Republican ticket in Missouri.
I know.
Ooh, I know. Then the world would turn upside down. How are you?
Well, obviously, I'm a little conflicted.
Yeah, I heard, of course.
But you know, I'll be okay. Any way you slice it, this portion of the Earth is going to rotate into the light of the sun on Wednesday morning.
Right. And the way I see it, you have the common decency to be conflicted.
is that my own moniker now? Bob,
yes.
Common Decency Kincaid?
Yes. It comes to mind for me. I think it's a great line. I'm going to use it a lot in various situations and making various attributions to various people. So it's a good line. And I have a brief report from on the ground in the stand of Kansas and
about
the election day.
Mm-hmm.
I've already voted by mail. So I've been subjecting myself to campaign ads on TV. So perhaps you would be surprised to know that Sam Brownback is good for education and good for welfare programs. I mean, really.
And all this time I thought Sam Brownback was good for nothing.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I'm in a university environment. I mean, we've been bracing the past 2 to 3 years about these budget cuts, and I get reports from Western Kansas of at least a couple communities, small communities, that are mad at him because they lost their teachers. So I don't know. I have the common decency to have cognitive distortion right now. That's what I can say.
Is your marvelous coherence at hazard?
Well, it's an aspiration, and yeah, it's a hazard, because if one likes coherence, you see an ad like that, and they're just running them back to back now, and I guess that's normal for this night. But there's one ad that goes on about how good he is for education, so that's just, I mean, if people here in Kansas on the right and the left, many of them are convinced he's ruined what was once a fine educational system, or at least put us at high risk. So, you know, if he wins, I won't know what to do with my thoughts about people in Kansas. I won't know what to do with it. I won't know what to think about them. Because I know moderate Republicans who are disgusted. And one is sort of a friend of mine who used to be the Senate Majority Leader in the House in Topeka. And so it will just be amazing if he wins, but he probably will. And another ad, which I think is so disingenuous, is about how good he is for promoting and being successful at welfare to work. And so there's this African-American woman on the screen who says she has 2 children and owes her success in getting back to work to Sam Brownback. And that is just over the top for me. I just think he should be embarrassed. Someone should be embarrassed. So, you know, because especially in light of what the perception is about trimming the voting rolls here and what his Secretary of State is doing and who that's aimed at, I just think that's just surprising to see someone being so brazenly dishonest about what he's really about.
Well, he is, I mean, if there's a silver lining to all of this, Diane, he is significantly down to his Democratic opponent, is he not?
And according to the latest polling, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't looked at that. If it's close, that's good. But the one I'm really watching is Armand and Roberts, because that's razor sharp. That's just neck and neck. But I don't know, where is Brown back, according to...
What I saw earlier today is that he's like 6 points back.
Ah, well, couldn't happen to a better... you know, he looks like... Did you see the Matrix trilogy?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I remember the first one more than the other two.
But. Yeah, I do. I did, too. I fell in love with the first one. I own the DVDs. I watched it a lot. I like it because it was so... It's like, you know, Plato's cave. It has a lot of philosophy in it, a lot of allegory to it. But, you know, those agents. You know, Brandeck looks like one of those agents, and so does Romney. And
you mean the sort of
rubbery.
Yeah.
Rubbery white men.
Yeah,
rubbery.
And behind the glasses, you know, there's no eyes.
Yeah, and there's just a certain look. And I look at Orman, he doesn't have that look. He looks young, alive. Of course, I'm looking at his policies. But as a matter of fact, he also looks young, alive, and energetic, where Brownback and Romney kind of look like the Walking Dead sometimes. And Roberts looks like he has the life wrung out of him. So,
There was that scene. There was that scene where they dragged out poor old Bob Dole and slumped him into a chair. Did you see that?
Oh, I knew about it. I knew about that. Yeah. Well, speaking of Bob Dole, did you know that Orman wrote a letter of apology to Bob Dole? It's on Huffington Post and elsewhere, because Orman referred to the Republican Party something. It goes something like this. I mean, the letter's online, but you can probably find it on Huffington Post, for instance. The letter was an apology, and the comment went something like this. The Republican Party is like a clown car. You never know who will spill out next. The clown car.
Right, so necessarily Orman had to apologize for Bob to Bob Dole. Because
for calling him a clown.
which he didn't do.
No, he didn't do it. But these are simpletons. These are... Morons.
These are people,
you know,
right, yeah.
These are that clip you play. These are morons. And Bob Dole, I mean, he's of the old guard, and I...
He was a hatchet man when he was enacted. I have not forgotten 96. I have not forgotten what a vicious monster he was throughout his political career. Yes, he got shot up in the Second World War. So did a few other members of the Senate, who were dramatically better after the war at being human beings than he was. Okay, no mercy from me. Thank you. Yeah. You know, thank you for not. You know, thank you for going in the draft or volunteering or whatever you did, former Senator Dole.
Yeah.
But that's as far as it goes.
Did you ever see his wife, Elizabeth, interview on TV?
Oh, God, that woman.
She couldn't shut up. You know, she couldn't let the moderator or her host or anyone talk. Something about the... She had some kind of southern...
Oh, yeah, and she was a senator from North Carolina for a while.
Yeah.
You know who owes an apology? The Republican Party of Kansas owes an apology for suggesting that the clown car comment included Bob Dole when it specifically did not. The Republican Party is the one that called Bob Dole a clown.
Oh, is that right?
Well, I mean, if a guy said...
Oh, they turned it into that.
Yeah.
You know what you're saying? Yeah,
right.
Oh, they turned it into that. Well... It's all bizarre. I mean, it's all bizarre from here on the ground in Kansas. When Brownback can claim to be, well, so he's claiming on these ads to be good at welfare to work, and then the claim is that Davis believes in welfare and no work. So, I mean, when it gets down to that.
Well, no, Diane, because that drives me crazy.
Hmm?
Welfare to work is a creature of the so-called welfare reform of the Clinton administration.
Oh, yeah, I'm not high on that. I don't.
And you know, the idea that, and because this is how it works. I know people who've been through it.
Uh-huh.
Welfare to work means that mama is taking care of two or three young'uns and just trying to keep them fed. Maybe daddy's gone. Or maybe daddy can't find work either. So mama takes a welfare to work job where she's given a make work position that pays her less than, in some instances, less than minimum wage for not enough hours to get by on. At which point in time she's not home able to take care of the young'uns. So that means she has to pay for child care. And it's a humongous net loss, and it is also, of course, intrinsically racist. Because if all Americans getting welfare had been white, that never would have passed the Republican Congress of the mid-1990s.
Well, I thought that the majority of people getting welfare are white.
Well, they are, but the fact that the fact that there are a few people who ain't, well, those are the ones that welfare reform was aimed at.
Yeah, I realize it's a dog whistle and people won't look at the actual facts, but I just saw that ad. And this, I'm sure a nice African-American woman looking in the camera and praising Sam Brownback, and I'm like, it's just so... I mean, it's so blatantly token. I just, you know, I have a real bad taste in my mouth about it. So, you know, in a state where we're not known for our diversity anyway.
Well, and look, I mean, this is the Republican Party that gave us Willie Horton gonna eat your mama.
Yeah.
And there's even been a Willie Horton campaign run in this election cycle. And of course, there were the mailings in Kentucky from the Republican committee that said, "Warning, election violation." That Allison Lundergan Grimes went to court last week to try to stop. Of course, that's just an unrung bell, right? You can't unring a bell.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I'm bracing for tomorrow. I'm not saying I have a clue what's going to happen. But I'm bracing myself. It's just like, I remember being 21, or I don't know how, I could figure it out, but let's just say early 20s, and Reagan was elected. And I didn't really follow politics that much at the time, and I was certainly in that suburban bubble of white, right, wealthy Republicans, you know. And, but I remember distinctly hearing the results on the morning news. I hadn't gotten up yet, and I pulled the covers over my head. I remember this distinctly. Not being politically intelligent or savvy at the time, or never having been around many Democrats at the time. And I said, this is a bad B-movie actor. I'm pulling the covers over my head, and I'm not sure I want to get up today. And it's been downhill ever since.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the demise of America as we know it begins with the ascension of Ronald Reagan.
Well, that's what I'm saying, that I think I instinctively knew that. Or maybe it's just that I couldn't get over that he was, I saw him in a movie with the monkey, and this was now our president. I think I couldn't get over that. But I also think I instinctively knew that we're in trouble here. And I really wasn't following politics much at the time. I had other things happening in my life. But it's pretty clear now that that's where we...
Actually, I think you can even argue that the downward slide of America began with the 1976 campaign when Ronald Reagan challenged Gerald Ford.
Gerald Ford. I have people in my family who say they're a Gerald Ford Republican.
Oh, good God.
What does that mean? He pardoned Nixon. I mean...
Well, he not only pardoned Nixon, but he also led the charge on the impeach Earl Warren movement in the 1960s.
So I mean, it's not like Gerald Ford was so, I don't know, neutral or harmless, and he wasn't elected either. So, we were probably in trouble then. But I tell you, I'm going to cut it short tonight because I'm still hoping Boss Man Wayne will call in too. And also comment on what's going on in your state.
Well, I'm going to try to, I think it's probably unlikely this evening, but I'm going to try to make a point of seeing if we can have a little conversation tomorrow after the polls close and everything. Because as I said before, I know that very few people in this country pay much attention to West Virginia, but this place really has been a political canary in the coal mine, as well as, you know, a sacrifice zone. And, you know, the Republicans, and to the same extent that one destroys progressive government in Wisconsin because there's no fun in making Alabama weirder, knocking out good-paying jobs and union representation in West Virginia will be a real feather in their cap. Because this is a place where people fought and bled and died for good jobs and good wages. And if they can bring in right to work, they can say to themselves, by God, we have slain the beast. Because we've taken away decent wages in a place where decent wages are harder to come by than just about anywhere else in the United States. I mean, they thought they did something by getting right to work in Michigan and assaulting public employee unions in Wisconsin. By God, if they can get right to work into West Virginia, they will have done something.
Yeah.
Because then...
Is Pennsylvania at will state? Because there's that Homestead strike.
I'm not sure. I'd have to check in with Rick Smith.
When I moved into Pittsburgh, the first week I was there, I went to see the Homestead site because I knew how important that crisis was
for
the labor movement.
Here's another thing to consider: if they can turn this is the beauty of the fraud that is the war on coal, Diane, because Most of West Virginia's coal workers are now non-union. The United Mine Workers are a shadow of their former self and pretty much dead. Well, dead. But there are still coal workers in West Virginia, and they are paid princely wages in order to keep them from unionizing. If we can get right to work in this state, then the coal companies can not only finish killing off the UMWA, they can also stop paying those high wages to those non-union workers on the mine sites and say, what the hell are you going to do about it? Join the union?
And the beauty of
the fraud, Diane, is that they're getting the people they're going to screw to vote for the people who are going to screw them.
Yeah, I can't get over that. But, you know, I even though I find that disgusting, I mean, just disgusting, I have, I don't know, some sense of camaraderie with working people no matter what they do. But my sentiments towards the elites in this country right now, I cannot tell you on the radio because whatever, surveillance, I mean, what might come out of my mouth. I kid you not. I think when I tell you what I think their fate should be and at whose hands, I mean, I'm not that nice about it, really. I live and breathe. Because they don't even have any noblesse oblige. They don't even have that.
No, 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 no. They're way.
And that was paternal enough, you know.
Okay, well let's get real nerdy, Diane. They've run right past noblesse oblige into le droit de seigneur.
Oh God. Well, then what?
They're
going to
They're going to screw us all, and they're going to do it because they think it's theirs to do by right.
Yeah. So that's why my mind, when you said that, my mind went to what happened in France. And, you know, and it's not pretty, and I'm not really wishing it because the wrong people will get hurt, and it has unintended consequences.
Well, right, and Diane, that's right next door with, because I really, really understand the impulse, and I've been talking about this for years. There is an impulse that says, fine. Give it all to them. Give them the Senate. Give them the Supreme Court. Give them the House. Give them the presidency. Give them their head and let them take the bit in their teeth and run until the froth forms on their mane.
No, I'm not there. I'm
burn,
not.
Baby, burn, because when the belly's empty, the head will learn.
Yeah.
But the problem is, in saying that, as understandable as that impulse is, then you have to get down to sort of brass tacks and where the rubber meets the road and say, okay, whose granny gets burned when we burn, baby, burn?
Yeah.
What child's future gets ruined when we burn, baby, burn?
We'll turn the guns on each other. And, I mean, what's that thing in Wisconsin? Like, people can get 3 feet from other people at the polls? I mean, we're already getting set up to go after each other. You know that law in Wisconsin, the governor there, didn't he sign that into law where Wisconsin voters can get 3 feet?
Somebody's going to have to educate me on that, Diane.
No, I mean, it's a thing, and I think it's Wisconsin or Michigan, but who's that? Cat in Wisconsin, Scott
Walker.
Yeah, that one. Now, see, he looks like an agent too. He looks like one of those agents too. Dead eyes, rubbery face. You know, that agent, Scott Walker. It's either in. Someone will correct me or clarify what I'm about to say. It's either signed into law or will be signed into law, and it's either Michigan or Wisconsin, but I think it's Wisconsin. There's a law passed that people who go to the polls, they can get up to 3 feet close to someone who's trying to vote or is also there at the polls for the purpose of, oh, I'm not sure, I don't have clarity on it, for the purpose of challenging the voter's right to vote. I remember Mike Malloy saying if anyone came up to him and did that, what would happen? And that's kind of the sentiment I'm conveying here, in that I don't think we should let them burn it down. I'm just saying that these people deserve a certain fate and in a certain way from us right now.
Yeah.
And I can't say what I think it should be because, you know,
right.
Uncle Fred's probably. You know, I just won't say it. I mean,
but it's
not nice what I'm thinking.
And I kind of know. But
yeah.
when...
Yeah, literally, I'm thinking that they should be stomped.
Yeah.
Because I just am. I mean, I'm not saying that I would...
Well, I mean, I've noted the fact, for instance, that I will have no problem going to the polls. Nobody's going to challenge me.
Yeah, but this
But you know what?
This is a precedent now.
Every time I go to vote, and I make a point of voting in person, every time I go to vote, you know what I do before I leave the house? I set my cell phone up so that all I have to do is touch one button to call the Secretary of State's office. And I would advise that for every single human being going to vote, take your cell phone with you and have the Secretary of State's election office on speed dial. Just push one button and say and just turn the speaker on and say, explain to the Secretary of State's office why you're challenging my vote. Do it right now.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, but there's still something about a law that's specifically fashioned to tell people they can get up to as close as 3 feet to another voter. Don't you think that's a bizarre law? I mean, where did 3 feet come in? I mean, how
because
would that
it is an, because it is an attempt to defeat an allegation of common law assault, Diane.
I see.
Because you see. Most people think that assault means when you hit somebody or touch somebody. It is not. Under the old English common law definition of assault is putting someone in reasonable apprehension of receiving an immediate touching of an insulting or provoking nature. In other words, if you get up in my space, you're assaulting me if I don't want you there. All right? Now, the minute you touch me, it merges into battery.
What
they're trying to do is cover up people claiming assault. So if you're 6 feet away and you're walking menacingly toward me, I can't say that you have assaulted me until you get within that three-foot buffer zone.
I see. Well, so given what you just said, this sounds to me like they're trying to legitimate some form of assault that would otherwise be considered assault, but now with the 3 feet stipulation, it won't be considered assault. I mean, this is outlandish.
So that means the guy in the Klan robes can get three and a half feet from the person of color and be okay.
Well, I mean, where is this coming from? Are you saying it's coming from that space?
It's coming from the likes of Alec and the Koch brothers and Crossroads GPS and all of these weird freaks who have a vested interest in keeping people from voting. See, things like this, the things the Republicans, and these are always done by Republicans. They are never, done by the Democrats. Democrats want turnout. Republicans want turnout suppression. All of these things are designed not for anything to happen to you at the polls, but to keep you from even going. I'm not going to go there if somebody's going to get up in my face. I don't need it. It ain't worth it. I might get locked up.
I think it will have that effect, but do you think on some level they're trying to stir up, you know, just sit back and watch us?
Oh, they'd love to have a fracas. And if some 92-year-old black grandmother decides to push back against some white Republican voter suppressor, It'll be on Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, in a country second, and some ass over there will be bloviating breathlessly, 92-year-old female member of the new Black Panther Party.
Well, these puppet masters, I just have I don't have any problems. You know, I'm on a meditation path. I don't have any problems thinking what I'm thinking I would like to have happen to them. I really am just that honest with myself, because
and you're not at all worried about your bliss.
No, I'm blessed. I have bliss, but that doesn't preclude my wanting a certain outcome for these people. I know who they are. We know who some of them are. We know who many of them are, actually. And as Jeffrey Hollander told me when he visited campus, he said, oh, I know who's in your state pulling strings, and he's picking at the Cokes. And he knew what, you know, he knew what was up, and they're right here in my state. So, you know, but they walk around freely, whereas Tiller couldn't, you know? So that's as close as I'm going to get to making any other comment about the situation.
Yeah, they get, they get to do that. They get to do that.
Yeah, and no one's on TV egging, you know, like O'Reilly, you know, egging some nutcase to...
Well, but look, Diane, if out of this conversation you're having, someone was to go and do something, you and I, as persons of conscience and decent moral character, would engage in a deep round of soul searching and feel horrible about it. On the other hand,
I don't know.
Work with me. On the other hand, a guy goes in, Jim David Atkinson, if that was his name, goes in and shoots up the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Knoxville. And the first thing, and he's discovered to have a manifesto that points directly to his influences by Glenn Beck, Michael Savage, Bernie Goldberg, Rush Limbaugh, and Bill O'Reilly. And the response of all of those is to say, well, I'm just an entertainer. There's no way I could have known somebody would go crazy and act on the stuff that I've been saying to incite people to go and do that.
Well, I would like to.
Because they have no morals. They have no conscience. From O'Reilly to Beck to the rest, Hannity, they're all sociopaths at the bare minimum. Some of them are psychopaths.
And I'm not saying I would like to incite anything. I guess I should step back and say they do deserve a certain fate. They do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in a healthy community, Bob, on some level, they would have a certain fate. I mean, a healthy community doesn't allow interlopers to come in and extract and kill. You know, I mean, when you think about it that way, I just don't feel like being soft on them. I don't feel like...
You know, there is a wonderful song out there from several years ago by an artist named Will Kimbrough, Kimbrough. And I don't have time to play it this evening, but I think it would resonate with you in a big way, Diane. It's called Less Polite.
Well, I certainly don't feel like being polite about it. I guess I will say that. But I certainly don't feel like that words and reasoning are going to... I mean, I don't see that anything's going to matter to them except being stopped, however that can happen. And I don't have a crystal ball, but I'm thinking in a healthy community, in a healthy nation, I know we're having an uphill battle, but they would be stopped. But I guess that's all I can say about that. By the way, I've assigned two new cases to my undergraduates for their big case analysis and my corporate responsibility class, and one is the Big Branch mining disaster.
UBB, yes, Upper Big Branch.
Yeah, and one reason I did that, not only because of you, but the research librarian I bring in to show the students how to do research on all their cases, uses that as an example, and I never asked her to. I mean, we had never talked about it. And then I also assigned the Freedom water crisis.
Oh, the Freedom disaster.
Yeah, the Freedom disaster. So it'll be interesting what the students do with that. They have to be led by facts. I mean, it's a two-hour presentation, and they have to use models and concepts and invest. They have to go through a process of discovery, as if they're lawyers, you know, or something. But so gather the facts and analyze the facts, and from that apply ethical principles management models and come to conclusions and make recommendations. So, I can tell you that they're all going to be spot on. I can say that in advance. I'd be very surprised if they didn't come to the same conclusion you have and I have. But they're going to have to do it on the path of facts, and they'll discover what's happened. And one of them had already hiked in Appalachia this past summer, and by just synchronicity, he's in the group that has one of those cases. So it will be interesting, and it'll be sad to hear, but it'll be illuminating, because I'm tired of signing Enron and Ford Firestone tire tread separation and WorldCom and Health South. I mean, you know, product recall cases. So I have two new ones.
Well, by all means, Diane, if at the end of the process, if I can be of any help whatsoever on either instance, do feel free to holler at me. Heck, I'd be tickled pink to appear, you know, before your class via Skype or, you know.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy if you think I would be in any wise useful.
Oh, that would be useful. Now, this semester, the calendar time is just as tight as it can be, but if I can remember that in the future, I can build in some slack into, you know, like right now, every day is taken up with the presentation and finals. But that's a really great offer, and I'll probably, at any rate, next semester, I'll probably play your clip from MSNBC, but yeah, if maybe we could Skype in or something.
Yeah, that'd
but
be
I'll
great.
I'll have to build it into the calendar. Thank you. That's a
and
generous
you can, and you can And you can tell them all about common decency.
Yeah, I think these students, God only knows how they vote. That's the rub. But these students do have common decency. So. Well, thank you. That's a generous offer, and I will in the future have you know, take you up on it. I appreciate that, Bob.
Well, that would be just lovely, and I would be honored. Well, Diane, I don't know, are you already done boiling dinner?
Oh, yeah, I baked dinner, a lasagna organic little thing you put in the oven, but now my cats are standing around questioning me about their turn, so I'm going to...
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, I'm going to turn to these cats. I you know, this... This is not the time to go into it, but I rescue cats and trap them and rescue them. And then I take them in. So I hope Jim's listening, because I think
he is. He is, and he will appreciate your humane acts.
And I appreciate his. Well, let's cross our fingers for tomorrow, Bob.
Let's do. And if you want to call in with a report from Kansas, stand by.
No. I can only hope. I can only hope. Unless Orman wins at minimum, and if Brownback's no longer in Topeka, great. I'll have a big glass of wine in my hand.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Sam Brownback needs to go work for the Heritage Foundation or something, or spend more time with his family.
I thought you were going to say hairdresser.
Stop it.
I thought, where's that coming from? Okay, Bob, I better let you go.
All right. Take care, Diane.
Thank you, you too.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
The marvelously coherent Diane from Kansas Stan. Let's see. Happy news to report. Thank you, Horst, and thank you, Sal. We have now only $20 to go to meet Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge, and your remaining $20 will be doubled to $40 if you decide to participate. So thank you, one and all. No, Jim, there was no aquarium pump. No stirrups either, dadgummit. Yeah. Let's go to the Skype line in the time remaining to us. I believe we've got Larry. Hey, Larry.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. We're gearing up for elections here in Berkeley, at least. And we've got an embarrassment of riches because we've got two assembly candidates, either one I could vote for. So I've got to make a choice between two decent people who have the same platform. The other thing that's going on in Berkeley, we have some controversial zoning ordinances where the developers are on one side. My side is the other one, and that I'm going to vote for. And apparently the yes on our folks are, who are the not developer side have spent 2017 or 27,000 to the developers 250,000. That's why I'm getting all kinds of mail from the other side. And we've got the soda tax, and then we've got some other, you know, statewide. We've got a water bond initiative. We've got a rainy day fund initiative. And as far as the state's concerned, so even though I'm not really involved with politics on a day-to-day basis, I'm gearing up for tomorrow. So that's what's happening here as far as the election's concerned. We've got Barbara Lee, so we don't really have to worry too terribly much. You know, we've got a very good congresswoman. So all I can say is, you know, I'm going to hope for the best. Okay. There we go.
No, you're fine. You haven't gone anywhere.
Oh, okay. All right. So, what do we know about tomorrow? What's happening with Wendy? And, you know, I went onto her website. I didn't see anything about, you know, where she is in terms of how
hey, close. With all deference to the hard work that our buddy Sergi has put in, I don't think things are looking great for Wendy.
Well, it's really too bad. It really, really is too bad because, you know, I mean, it really, really is because she's a really good candidate. You know, I don't know what's happening in your neck of the woods, but I know all of your candidates are pretty much pro-coal.
Yeah, and that's all I've got is friends of coal.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, the people, you know that I'm listening to on other progressive stations are and people who are doing advocacy are touting the well-worn path of contacting Congress people, and it doesn't seem that contacting the Congress people for the most part does a whole lot of good because the Congress folks don't listen. At least it doesn't seem that they listen. But then, I don't know. I don't know what to do about that. I'm gonna bring my ballot into the polling place tomorrow. I'm gonna vote tonight, and I'm gonna bring my ballot in tomorrow. And that's all I can say. Rogers enlightened me about Prop 1, which is the water bond to build dams. And what he's telling me, I'm talking about Roger Smith now, you know,
yes,
Roger.
Yes, yes, yes.
Isaac of Woods. And he's telling me that if we vote for the dam, that takes water away from Northern California and sends it back down to Southern California. And my friend in West Chesboro is wrote the argument against Prop 1. And he's a really good guy. So we'll just see what happens. We'll just see what happens.
It must be nice to vote in a place where you can actually give a damn about the candidates you're voting for.
Well, like I mentioned on chat last week, when I go into the polling place or when I work in the polls, occasionally people will show their driver's license just out of habit. But what we're supposed to do is they're supposed to walk in, and then we have them sign the, you know, one of the books, and then they cross their name off of, you know, a list, and we put one list on the outside, you know, on the outside of the polling place so that the poll watchers can come look at it every hour if they want to, up until 6 o'clock in the evening. But we don't sit there and say, you can't vote if you don't have some kind of, ID that is, you know, we haven't done that here, and we won't do that here. I just hope that we had a situation here in California where people weren't sure about whether or not they could vote by paper ballot or they had to use the machines. And one of the years that I was working in the polls, I gave people information that they could either vote using the machine or vote using paper. And I had some a problem with one of the poll watchers from the, you know, Alameda County Registrar of Voters, but I said, look, you know, I have to let people know because people are very concerned about their vote not being tallied properly by a machine. So right. He backed off.
Well, Larry, I got to get out of here because we just ran over the 9 o'clock mark.
I'm sorry, Bob. Sorry.
No worries. No worries. You have a good evening.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye now. Thanks everybody for everything you do to make this community what it is. Thank you for your ideas, your calls, your input of all sorts. Thank you for your kind contributions that keeps this whole thing running. We find ourselves $20 from meeting Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. Hopefully by tomorrow evening I can announce that has been met. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and ACAC, ACHEACT.org. And yes, always, 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 Gina, it is all for you. Good night, y'all.